Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to this little thing that we call Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely Mike Salmon, along the incredible, the wonderful, the awesome, Mr. Awesomeness, Stephen Julian.
Morning, Mike. Morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
I am going to be testing my professionalism today, which you know I have very little of on this show, because I am sniffling and sneezing, so we'll see if the audience can tell.
You're going to be okay?
I'm going to be great.
You got your tissues, you're all good to go.
I'm going to be wonderful because we got great guests and I get to do a show with you, Mike.
Yeah, and I'm just glad you're at the other end of the table.
There you go.
Our guest today, speaking of which, from Lone Wolf Communications, it's Jennifer Perry. She is the owner and entertainment publicist. And from First Communities, Century Sugarloaf Apartments, but also Century Riverside Apartments as well, correct? We have Amy Heskett and Megan Harrington. And let's get started with Jennifer Perry. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Mike and Steve.
Lone Wolf Communications. Give us a broad overview of what your company does.
Well, we're entertainment publicist, and that is for authors, musicians, artists. People forget today that just because they've written a book, and you know nowadays with self-publishing, it's just about ubiquitous that everyone's got a book. But they get a book, and then they don't know what to do with it, and they don't know why everyone's not buying it, and they just sit there and they pout and feel sorry for themselves. But the thing is, they need publicity just as much as any other kind of business. No one can buy your book or your music or your art if they don't know about it.
What makes an entertainment publicist different from your typical PR person?
You know, that's a great question, because after I got my degree with Georgia State, I studied at UCLA Entertainment Publicity under Henri Bollinger, who's quite the big guy in the field. And in our training in entertainment publicity, we learn how to leak scandals off of movie sets and so forth to TV shows. It's a very practiced and curated art.
So there's an art to this.
Yeah, so whereas in regular business, you don't want the scandal to get out, we got to find something. Okay, somebody's got to be caught in somebody's trailer doing something, because we need to leak some stuff to get some, you know, hype before this movie comes out.
So there really is a whole different mindset for the entertainment industry.
Exactamente, mi amigo. You got to every little thing you can come up with. I mean, with clients I've come up with, using, you know, burlesque girls, fake crack cocaine, and evidence bags just to get attention for a client's book or for their work or something.
I think we need to have you come back and do an entire show and hear some of these stories.
Oh yeah.
tell us, Jennifer, about your background. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, sometime back, you know, I was the introvert that all of a sudden one day just had to shake things up. I think I had a car accident, decided if I bought the farm today, do I want my obituary just to say what I'm doing right now? No. So I decided to face every fear I had and do everything. So I sang in a jazz band. I had a local cable TV show. It was an entertainment show. And wrote some columns for newspapers. And then everybody kept saying, you know, this is what you ought to do, because everyone would come to me for advice on how do I get the newspaper? How do I get on this? How do I do that? How do I get my band heard? And so I went to college a little later than most, and found that that was just, it just fit. It was like, I felt like I'd come home. I call myself the anti-mame of publicity, because everyone is like my little Patrick, and I want to take care of them and shove them out into the world and show everybody how fabulous they are.
With a fake bag of drugs in your purse.
Yeah. Can you imagine my husband? Because I wanted to, Carrie Dunn, had a book called Joe Peace. Now, it's going to be made into a movie now, and they've changed the name of the book because he got an agent and he's got a film company. But the character, Joe Peace, he's a homicide detective, Mike, but he's kind of a sorry, mediocre homicide cop. And then he had a little dope problem, but it got better because he got rid of that and got a crack problem. And then he ends up getting demoted to the file room and fired. And after that, the only people that'll hire him are the drug people he used to chase. So he becomes a drug lord, and he's extremely successful. He's got nightclubs, payday loans, everything's going on. And so what I did was, when I sent out the press releases, I would print out evidence, just different kinds of police documents, like evidence collections, police reports, whatever, and then print the press releases on the back of it, send it with Do Not Cross crime tape around it. And then for an event, I had the little bags of, you know, I won't tell you my formula for crack cocaine because it could be legal to make fake crack soon, and I might need a little extra income stream. So, Steve's got Steven's his pen out. He's writing it down. He's trying to.
I was waiting for the formula, but you didn't give it, man.
Don't be jacking my Steve.
All right.
So, you get your own profit center in the illegal world. And so what we do is I had the little bags, I had the evidence tags on of the little fake crack, and I wanted to get a scale to sit them on the table with the food that we were serving to the people that came and the journalists. And my husband said, don't you dare, because you've got a rented SUV. You and your friend Esther are going. I can just see the two of you getting stopped somewhere between here and New Orleans with these little evidence bags, fake crack, some scales, and trying to talk your way out of it. So he said, no.
We're speaking with Jennifer Perry, who is the head of Lone Wolf Public Relations Publicity Strategy. So you wouldn't give away your secret of how to make fake crack, so let me ask you to give away another secret. Speak in some general terms about the person who's written their book, whatever the subject is, and where should they start when they're starting with you? Where does that conversation start? What are some of the basic things you're gonna do with most clients to help them increase their publicity?
Because I would think that first conversation would not sound like the one we just had.
Right, exactly.
I think a lot of folks would be running in the other direction.
Yeah, so let's deal with the secrets you will give out.
Okay, and I'm not even talking about the burlesque girl I had perform at that one. But anyway, and these gals are professionals, okay? Don't be dissing the burlesque gals around me. If I were younger, I'd be doing that now myself. So okay.
She's coming back, and she's bringing some guests next time.
Absolutely.
I'll bring
the whole show.
Oh, we got a big burlesque scene in Atlanta. So they should start, Steve, and I'm so glad you asked. They should start 4 to 6 months before the book is even published. That is so important to start hyping your book, promoting your book, building your author platform, and building your presence in the media well before the book is published. So, but most people don't. They get out, they publish a book, and then they sit there and they whine, and then somebody says, use Twitter, and they go, well, I got a Twitter account. Like you told me, nobody bought my book. I knew it wouldn't work, you know, and just say everybody's just so, now you can't crawl backwards. You can't go backwards like that. So you got to start ahead, start building your platform. Your platform is basically your presence in the business, people knowing who you are. It's your social media, it's connections and relationships. It's getting involved with other people. It's leaving reviews or comments for other people on their blogs or their Goodreads or Amazon page, because it is a community where you can reach out and help somebody else and they can help you.
And it sounds like part of what you're doing is what you did in your own life, which is helping people kind of overcome their fears, you know, helping people. You're kind of testing that philosophical theory. If you write a book in the forest and no one is around to read it, then does it really exist? I mean, that's you're kind of helping them overcome what you overcame yourself in your own personal life.
You know, I should have said it exactly like that to people, and it might make more sense. It really does.
You can use that. That's
okay.
A secret.
You sure?
Yeah, and
okay,
you don't even have to give me the
You are now the publicist for the publicist.
There you go. You like that?
It's about time.
You know, a broken clock is right twice a day. So that okay. Was, you got the first one for today. So.
But the thing is, you can't just sit still in a vacuum and just think that, you know, just because you have a Facebook page and Instagram that, you know, and then be bitter because the world hasn't bought your book and you're not Patterson or nobody came to your book signing because you sat behind a table.
Well, with that said, can it be that authors or entertainers can sabotage, they're trying to do it themselves and may sabotage themselves by doing it themselves? And if so, how can they sabotage themselves? What are some mistakes that you see?
You know, that's something else I cover, is how you do sabotage yourself and how not to do that. As you guys probably know, I'm sure, it's easy for people to tick off a journalist, the nice broadcast people who will book you on their radio or TV show, just by coming up with things like, you know something, Mike? if you're smart, you'll have me on your show because I'm going to be the next big thing, and you'll be very famous for having me on. Now, I can't be here at 9:40, but if you can send a car to pick me up, you know, that's the kind of thing. A lot of people...
Our next guest on the show now... Oh, wait a minute. You were just kidding there. That was an example. I'm sorry. I thought you were serious there.
I get a lot of people. They'll do stuff like that. I'll get somebody on a morning TV show. I had a guest on Talk of Alabama. He changed it 3-6 times. I finally said, this is the last time we're booking him. Got him booked. And the night before, you know, I really don't want to have to get up early in the morning.
Well, I'll tell you, one of our policies here at Business Radio, at least for Gwinnett, my show here on Business Radio X, I mean, I don't chase anybody. Yeah. If they keep double, you know, changing their date on me after two times, like, you know what?
There are plenty of other good businesses out there to talk to.
They need me a lot more than I need them. So, yeah, there's plenty of great folks like the ones that you have in the room here to talk to.
And thank goodness you were easy to stalk. But it's just... But no, the thing is just courtesy. Professionalism and courtesy matters everywhere. And if you're just starting out, show some courtesy to the journalist, to anybody you send things to. You know, a lot of people, their businesses are cut back. There's not as many journalists in the newsroom, magazine. They're super busy. If you make their job easy, they're going to remember you kindly and put you in when they've got a space in what they call the news hole in the paper or mention you in a column or something. Show courtesy. Don't come in like you're the next big Grisham, Patterson, whomever. Because that's what will sabotage you, and that's what I'm so glad you asked. You can sabotage yourself with your own. I don't want to use a bad
obnoxiousness.
I didn't want to use another word.
I helped you there, Jennifer. I'm gonna run the risk of actually making this interview a little more boring, but I think it's a necessary question, and I have a feeling that you'll be able to overcome my boring question.
Thank you, dear.
Two parts. Number one. Just make sure everybody understands it's not just authors, but some of the other entertainment parts that you work with. And then also let us get behind a little bit of the process. Does it start with just one conversation? Is that, you know, complimentary? Hey, let's get together and see if we can work together. Talk us through the process of how it actually works with a new client.
Okay.
And to add a third part to his question,
ABC.
How do these clients find you, or how do you find them?
Oh,
before
all right.
You have that conversation, I guess.
Okay.
You got to find them before you have the conversation.
Okay, you got all that? Go.
Anyone else? Okay. yes, I also work authors, musicians. I've got someone wanting to talk to me who has a matchmaking business. So I guess it would fit in entertainment. The first thing in a conversation is I want to know what you want. What are you doing? What do you want? And what are you willing to do to get there? And which is not a question of attitude. It's, you know, how much time? Where do you want to go? I asked someone yesterday in a meeting. I said, if you hired me, it's like I'm talking to Megan. Megan, if you hired me, and to promote your book or your CD, and you called a friend in 2 months and said, hey, I got this publicist, and I'm so excited. This is what she's done for me. What would you want that to say? What would that be? You know, and that lets me know what are your goals, and then are they attainable? Can you travel? Can you talk to people? Are you willing to learn something? Are you willing to be coached for media?
And you're trying to get their level of commitment too. See, are you committed to this, or is this just a part-time hobby for you?
Yeah, because that matters. Don't let me push you all over the world. If you say, you know, that's not what I want. I just want to sell my book at a couple of little churches and independent bookstores. I'll be fine. And that's fine, too. Now, I also have an online webinar. It's more of an interactive teleseminar. It's called Promote This, with an exclamation mark, Steve. Promote This, DIY publicity for authors, and I have a separate one for musicians. It's about 90 minutes. It's interactive. It's fun. But I go through a whole list of things that you need to do, that you need to have to prepare yourself to promote your book, your music, your art, and everything from putting together your platform, how to properly leverage social media instead of just, as we know, as we see too often, spamming people with, you know, buy my CD, buy my book. Oh, and here's my cat pictures over and over. Because you're not going to make any friends like that. And certainly not get anybody buying it. But how to leverage social media properly, how to reach out to the media, and how to be courteous and give the media what they want, not too much, not too little, to make their job easy so they'll be happy to promote you. Also teach them things about how to handle a book event. Don't sit behind a table like somebody's going to just say, oh, my God, that must be an author. Let me rush up there and buy a book and get them to sign it. You know, Steve, you're just laughing at me.
I just, you know, you say these things, and I'm going to throw it out there. I think the average listener might listen and go, people don't really do that. But you could probably fill hours telling stories of, I mean, the guy who said, oh, it's too early, I don't want to get out. I mean, you.
Yeah, definitely. And I saw somebody on LinkedIn saying, on a writer's group saying, well, someone told me I should have a plate of cookies at the table when I have a book signing. Well, there's no way I'm going to do that. But people can't resist food. Come on. Everybody in an office knows you don't have food in one side of an office without people on the other side finding their way over there to get it.
And if right? if a plate of cookies is sitting out in front of an author, then most people are going to come up and be willing, well, in order to get this cookie, I got to at least listen to the pitch, even if it's 10 seconds,
well,
right?
Yeah, and they're going to they'll try not to. They'll walk around. It's like a dog that's not sure if they can go up there and get that something, you know, off your plate. They can try to get you away from your plate.
What's that over there? And then grab
one. Yeah. So, oh, look, it's one of those Kardashians. No, never mind. It was a Volkswagen going by. So, what they do is, so I had an author, he went from writing mysteries to somehow I introduced him to the steampunk world, and he changed his genre entirely. He's become quite successful at it. But we had an event in San Diego at a Upstart Crow bookstore, and so I had people coming in steampunk costumes and all kind of things going on. But I also, and of course I had burlesque girls read, and because that'll draw people in. And the local burlesque girls, you know, they were called Hell on Heels, and all I had to do is make a donation to a charity, and they would all come out and promote this as well. But I got a couple of plates from the bookstore of brownies, banana walnut bread, sat them out, and then people just started coming over a little bit. I go, oh, come on over. It's okay. You don't have to. Just sit down. You haven't got to buy a book. And people would come, and they'd sit down. You can tell they just want to get. Things matter. Draw people to you. Don't run them off. You know, give them a reason to come to you. Be hospitable.
I want to sit here and ask you about, and out of the box, maybe one of the, you know, the wildest things you've done for a client, but in retrospect, I'm going to save that question for maybe some other time when you're our only guest, in reference to our other guests that are in the room too, because, you know, gosh knows they may, you know, say, hey, you got to listen to the show I was on, and all they're going to hear is, who was that person that was on before you? Oh my God. So I won't ask you that question. We'll save that for another time if that's okay. Jennifer Perry with Lone Wolf Communications. Obviously, we could tell does an incredible job. You mentioned the webinars. If people want to know more about the webinars, how can they sign up? How can they find out more?
Oh, thank you. Please do. It is, you can go to my website, which is lonewolf.com, LONEWOLFCOMM.net. Or look them up on Eventbrite, promote this DIY publicity for authors or musicians. Just go on there. They are super low priced, but you get it. They're packed with a lot of great information. And then after that, sometimes that's a better thing to do than just trying to hire someone or hire me outright so you understand what I'm doing and why. But go on there, register for them. You can interact with the other people and find. And every time we do this and people interact, everyone who takes it ends up becoming friends with the people and supporting each other and promoting each other's work with the people that they were in the webinar with, which I love, love, love that. So, yeah, go to lonewolfcom.net or look up Promote This. I've also got a Lone Wolf page on Facebook. On Twitter, it's Perry Jen or Lone Wolf Jen, either one. But, yeah, please do, because I think you'll have a fun time, and I'll have lots of handouts for you.
We got to have you back because I got so many more questions, if that's okay with you.
I would be delighted. Okay. Delighted.
Any other contact information? I mean, I guess you gave out the website. Everything is, we got everything covered?
Yeah, go to the website or the Facebook or the Twitter and please find me.
Absolutely. Jennifer Perry, Lone Wolf Communications. This is a lot of fun. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio. They got to follow that. From First Communities, Century Sugarloaf Apartments, also Century Riverside Apartments. It's Amy Heskett and Megan Harrington. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Tell us all about First Communities. You've got more than one location, obviously, just here in Gwinnett alone. How big is the company? How many properties do you guys have?
Hey, Mike. First of all, thanks for having us on today. First Communities is an Atlanta-based management company. We actually manage over 120 communities nationwide. We work for the Century brand, which is based right here in Atlanta as well. And we currently work for the ownership group that has about 30 communities throughout the Southeast. Today we're featuring the two communities in Lawrenceville, which are Century Sugarloaf and Century Riverside. You can find both of our communities on Facebook or Twitter under the community name. or on our company website, which is century-apts.com.
Megan, you're with Century Sugarloaf. Yes. Tell us all about your community.
Oh, lovely Century Sugarloaf. We're a very quaint-sized community, 262 apartments. We're located right on Old Norcross Road and Sugarloaf Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
We're a luxury apartment home, superior apartment home community, and very great location, really convenient access to 316, I-85, near the Sugarloaf Mills. Sugarloaf Mills, right? No,
it's
no longer Discover.
It is Sugarloaf.
Exactly.
No longer Discover Mills, so great location, great apartment community. Yeah.
Megan, let me ask you to unpack one word you said there. When people think of apartments, and you said luxury apartments, mm-hmm. is that just y'all's word? Is there a standard that makes it luxury? What sets apart an apartment that people that you can say, hey, mm-hmm. this really is the top of the heap?
Well, I think it's more so our brand standard for Century as of who we are. We set the standards for who we are for our residents and also for the people that want to be a part of our Century family. It's not more so just about our product and, you know, what we try to present, but it's more so how we treat and how we represent ourselves for not just Century, but First Communities and all around. As Amy said, our 30 plus communities that we have throughout Maryland, Texas, Florida, the Carolinas. So it's not just our product, but also how we treat.
So Amy, maybe this question could be for you too. What are some of the little things you guys will do, maybe at your particular community, or what you do across all your communities that your clients and your residents go, yeah, that's over and above. That's an extra step. That's why I love staying here.
We always try to go the extra mile by taking care of the residents, and their work orders are done 99% of the time within 24 hours. We go above and beyond by having all professional employees who are certified maintenance technicians. As far as the product itself, with it being quote-unquote luxury, at Century Sugarloaf, we recently remodeled the interiors where we've added a beautiful tile mosaic backsplash, upgrading light fixtures, adding the new plank flooring, which is definitely a hot ticket item for interiors. And, of course, our amenity package. We have pools, business centers, coffee bars. We do go above and beyond by community activities so that the residents can get to know their neighbors. We do provide courtesy officers on the community so they can take care of any of needs after hours as well.
And you mentioned the amenities, and I'm not sure if they're at both your properties. You know, you mentioned the pool. Some places have workout areas. Some have tennis courts and so forth.
Yeah, everywhere from dog park, the resort-style pool, of course. We also offer laundry facilities on our property, playground area, business center for the residents to have access to during business hours, and even the clubhouses where they can have, you know, any parties or anything like that for any gatherings or events that they have, just to make it a bit more accommodable and easier for our residents.
And I say that because you offer so much, and I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but in the old days, oh, you live in an apartment. It almost had a negative connotation. That's not the case anymore. You find a lot of business professionals and families that because of the amenities, because mm-hmm. of the convenience, that you can get up and move when your lease is up. You can move if you're, you know, if your job transfers you somewhere or you have that kind of a job. So it's almost a way of life too, that you're more transit, that you, if you have to move, you can, you know, you're not stuck in a mortgage.
Yeah, and it's all about thinking about the rent versus owning aspect of it.
Yeah.
The convenience, like you mentioned, we also have the move of the century. That's something that we offer throughout the century portfolio. I'm pretty much just making it more accommodable to our residents that, hey, you know, if you have a job offer and you want to be relocated somewhere, just to make it easier just for you to reserve an apartment to the next property where it's a convenient location, whether it be out of state or whether it's right up on 285. So
now let's unpack this move of the century a little mm-hmm. bit. So is that only for people who are currently already residents of Century? If they relocate, they can, it's easy to relocate to another century. Talk a little bit more about that.
That's correct, Stephen. And we've had case by case where they've been managed by First Community Property. But more so if you are with a Century community, say for instance, if someone is relocating from Century Sugarloaf to Century Peachtree Creek right on 285 West near Shallowford Road, it's just $100 to reserve and make that transfer and just kind of make it a smooth transition for you. No extra cost for application fee, and just get started that way and you can even partake in a special depending on if your lease is up. So.
And let me say something, Stephen, about that, because what are you pointing at me for?
You were pointing at me. Go ahead.
I was trying to get your attention. But that's pretty cool, because if you know you're going to another Century property, mm-hmm. you know there's a certain level
exactly.
and standard, because sometimes you have to move with sight unseen. You have not seen a place you're going to. That happened to me once. I moved based on pictures I saw online and by talking to the people. It sounded great, and I moved there. It was horrible.
Insert horror music here. Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly. So at least this gives a peace of mind, because you know if you're being transferred to Phoenix, you really probably may not have a chance to go out there beforehand. Mm-hmm. At least to look for a place to live. This is a nice feeling to know that if you're staying with the same company, there are certain expectations that you're going to have when you go to one of these first communities.
And as they mentioned at the beginning, the Century brand is the 30 properties kind of in the Southeast, but you are also part of a national brand, which is huge. Amy, I wanted to ask you a question that we were kind of talking that actually goes back to one of Mike's old questions, and that's I think some of the myths of apartment living. And some of the things you guys are overcoming from either misconceptions or past conceptions. I think there's a myth of, well, apartment living is for only young people before they buy their first house, and that is absolutely not true. So speak a little bit about the clients you guys have, the type of clients you guys are finding that are coming to your properties.
Well, what we found is, I mean, it's a very diverse population for sure. We have a lot of long-term residents at all of our communities that have been renting for 5-10 years. People are now renting by choice, not necessarily because they feel that that's the only option for them. People who do have the option of buying a home are choosing to rent just because of the mere convenience factor. They won't have an upside-down investment 2 to 3 years later. They can get out of their lease with just a 60-day written notice. So, plus the convenience factor. You don't have to worry about any kind of landscaping or maintenance. When you're home, you're home, and you can go enjoy the gym or the pools without additional costs, no increase in taxes. You don't have to worry about paying a gym membership or paying for the HOA dues. All of that's taken care of for you.
You know, what Amy is saying, very politically correct and very properly. You did it great, very professional. Allow me to be slightly unprofessional. In my business, I do investments. And one of the longest standing statements that almost goes completely unchallenged is, oh, buying a house is always a great investment. That is absolutely not true. You can make a mistake. You can make bad investments and you can get yourself in trouble. But to go along with that, gone are the days of the apartment complex where we got a coffee machine in the back and some popcorn. There are so many good amenities, and it's such a great – it is a great viable option, and you mentioned it, long-term option, that we've come a long way. And, Mike, as they were listing off their amenities, were you getting a little jealous? Because I was getting a little jealous.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And I didn't mention that at Century Riverside we have 4 swimming pools. 4 sparkling swimming pools with 3 waterfalls.
I vouch for that.
And we also do provide, we work with preferred employers. So at both of our communities, we do offer additional discounts to certain employees of Gwinnett County. We offer discounts to Gwinnett County school employees, fire, police. We also work with the Philadelphia College of Medicine, offering discounts to the medical students, as well as Publix and Gwinnett Medical Center. So that really helps us bring in all the preferred employers into our communities.
That was interesting. It was like the PCOM, the College of Medicine,
right.
the school district, the police, the fire, the first responders. Oh, and Publix. It's like, oh, where'd that come from?
Well, all
our shopping is a pleasure.
Right, and we're all great companies. Publix takes care of their employees. They found another way to take care of their employees. I mean, that's fantastic.
These are all unpaid endorsements, by the way. talk about the hours. If people want to come in, I assume people want to come in and take a tour. When's a great time to come by?
Every day, all day. We are there Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and also on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5. And now, starting, I believe, February, we'll be there on Sundays as well from 1 to 5. So it kind of just gives you the convenience all throughout the week, just trying to schedule an appointment, make it a time to come by, and feel free just to check us out on the website to get directions and for either Century Riverside or Century Sugarloaf. So.
And when we come to check it out, can we bring our swimsuit? and check out the four pools.
I'll make it an accommodation.
And can Steven bring his three boys with him as well?
I just want that coffee and popcorn.
Amy, you mentioned the preferred employer program. Do you have a referral program for people that might already be residents?
We do offer a referral program, and currently it's $400 at both of our communities. So if someone lives there and refers someone, they will receive a check for $400 within 60 days of the new resident moving in. We're also available, as Megan mentioned, our business hours, but we're available 24 hours online. You can check out our website. You can apply online. You can take care of all the application admin fees online. You can pay online. So we make everything very convenient for our residents.
You're in a very competitive business, and you've already mentioned some of the great reasons to go to First Communities or Century Sugarloaf or Century Riverside. The move of the century, I've never heard of anything like that, so that's amazing. But location is so important to so many folks. Go ahead and, again, give your locations of the Gwinnett properties that we're talking about.
Century Riverside is located at 1000 Duluth Highway between Riverside Parkway and Lawrenceville-Swanee Road. Again, you can reach us at 770-237-2828 or on our website, which is centuryriversideapartments.com.
And Century Sugarloaf is located right 1595 Old Norcross Road, near the corners of Sugarloaf Parkway and Old Norcross Road, closest to the Shell gas station and Publix shopping center. You can give us a call at 770-338-8677 or just look us online at www.centurysugarloafapts.com.
Amy Heskett and Megan Harrington from First Communities today talking about Century Sugarloaf and Century Riverside. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Steven's ready to put his house on the market right now. I can tell that look you have.
Well, I thought it was great. They are such real estate people that, you know, location, location, location. They gave the physical location and the web location and the phone location all in one. Okay, corny joke. Insert horror music here.
It's not their first rodeo.
Absolutely. They know what they're doing.
This might be your last rodeo,
unlike me. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, next week we'll be debuting our new host here on Gwinnett Business Radio, Jennifer Perry from Lone Wolf Communications.
Good to be here.
Want to thank all of our guests for joining us for the program. A reminder that you can enjoy this show or any of our other current Gwinnett Business Radio programs, although none may be as fun as this one, anytime, day or night, 24/7 by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter, at Gwinnett Radio X, and like us on Facebook, also Gwinnett Radio X. For Stephen Julian.
You know, my good publicity works because you know what's going through everybody's mind here at the end? Fake crack.
And don't get pulled over when you leave the studio today because there might be a little gift in your car.
And burlesque.
Courtesy of Jennifer Perry. For Stephen, I'm Mike Salmon. For our producer, Trey, we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.